I used to double cup of food. DJ Scoop Chop Suit.
Learn this shit from Texas. Swinging that bubble out Lex. Neon Aries. Popping that tongue so wrecked.
I just wanna come down one day, round one day. Can they paint that whiz around one day? Clown one day, show the grill, show the grill. I just wanna bend the corner late night to the early morning. Got an old school with some new component. Back then they didn't want me. Now that I'm swinging, they all on me. Now that I'm pulling up clean, I double the figure like double the cup of the lean. Glass highs with the gleam, screams like puppets on streams. Yeah, that I mean. 4 p.m. at the Kappa on swingers and adapters watching me ball, yeah. Salamander on the slab, 2 miles per hour, they watching me crawl.
I just wanna UGK used to double cook the food.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Span. This is episode number 57 of the Chicken Shit, man. Right now, we rocking out to some Crit. Learn from Texas off of that Crit Is Here album. So go ahead and rock out with your boys.
DJ Scoop Chop Suey.
Learn this shit from Texas. Swinging that bubble out Lex. Neon Aries. Popping that tongue so wreck.
Popping up twice. Trunk shaking like a fist full of dice. Wrist game like a cooler of ice. Chandelier light. Who needs some light? UFO light. Who need a ride? Don Key, keep the south on the side. South side while I'm tipping on foes. Two flex when I'm slamming them doors. Top drop, keep my halo exposed. Twang down, sweet chariot stop. Ron C, might go off of the top. Bell way all the way to the top. Jammy screw on a tight till it pop. Texas gave me a lot. Feel like it's home from MI. Crooked with love for Elvis. Diamonds and wood in the chrome. Man.
I just wanna pull up.
Pull up, pull up.
Like UGK used to double cook the food.
Pull up.
They school chop suit.
Learn this shit from Texas. Swinging that bubble out Lex. Neon Aries. Popping that tongue so rick.
Yes, indeed, y'all. Like I said, this is episode number 57 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. And it's been a minute since we did this shit here, man. Let me turn this off. But it's been a minute since we did this, man. Been quite a while. It's been like damn near a month since the last time y'all heard from me and the homeboy Cliff, man. But we here. We doing this tonight. And it looks like we having some technical difficulties with the homeboy Cliff, man. Let me see what's going on with this brother here. All right, let's try to get Cliff back in the mix of things here. Oh, there you go. Can you hear me, nigga? You can't hear shit? Seriously? Wow. 2 days in a row. 2 days in a fucking row, man.
Yo.
It's about goddamn time.
Really?
Nah, I'm saying, man, like I had a guest on the show yesterday, and it was like a whole bunch of technical difficulties and shit happening with that yesterday too. And yeah. You know, it's a bit frustrating. As a matter of fact, that episode I haven't been able to publish it yet because I had to edit it because it was so much dead sound. Because I was trying to do the shit live and it just wasn't working out for us. So
whole yeah, time, man. You like this. You was like,
yeah, I was banging. I mean, you know, I had it going. This nigga Cliff, like, hey, he texted me while I'm like, hey, I can't hear shit. And I'm like, ah, shit, but I can't stop though. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, real talk though, I was about to just go with you.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, look, the nigga told me he couldn't hear me, but he bobbing though. Okay. Hey, that's like when like niggas be like running and shit. Like black, that's a whole black people thing. You know what I'm saying? Niggas would be running. You don't even know what the fuck they running for, but she be like, nigga, we need to be running too.
Find out why we done that before.
Yeah, find out why we running later. Like, nigga, what the fuck? What are we doing?
That's real.
Oh, shout out to the Waffle House homecoming, man.
Shout out to the cash register.
Oh man. Hey, check it, man. I'm a little upset, though, because homecoming was not too long ago, man. And every time I see homecoming in Tennessee State and I'm not there, I'm a bit upset, bro. I ain't been to state in about, shit, it's probably been like damn near 15 years now.
For real?
Yeah, man. It's been a long time. It's been a long time. I need to get my ass back down there. Then on top of that, man, I've been hearing like some bad shit about state lately, man. Like the kids ain't got no fucking power in the dorms and shit. Like,
for real?
Yeah, man. That. Like, I was on, what was it? I was on Facebook, and I saw an article that said, like, Tennessee State had, like, the best band out of all the HBCUs right now. They had the number one ranking and shit. I'm like, you know, my HBCU better than yours. You know, I'm bragging and shit. And then somebody was like, well, damn it, my kid ain't got no fucking power right now. She at TSU. I'm like, oh, shit. So, I mean, it is what it is. It was kind of, I'm sure they got the power running for homecoming. I'm sure. I ain't heard nobody talking about that. You know, like, the school ain't having no power for the homecoming. Like, I'm sure they brought out all the generators to keep that shit rolling. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And all the kids got, like, the good food in the calf because, you know, it was homecoming. You know, all the old people were back at the school. See, that's another part about it, too, right? If I go to homecoming, I'm going to be the old nigga now. You know what I'm saying?
You going to be the old if you go? No.
Nah, no. I'm saying in relation to the students. Like, when we was at school, a nigga that was 40 walking around state with his Tennessee State jacket and hat on and shit, he got all his Tennessee State shit on. That's going to be me, dog. I'm going to have a jacket and a hat. I'm going to have some blue and white Jordans on and some shit like that. That's going to be me. I'm going to be the old nigga at homecoming.
Yo, honestly, I was in Memphis that weekend.
Yeah, I know. And we were supposed to do a show.
I was this close from just driving over.
Mm.
And I said, man, I'm cool, man. I'm already tired. So
yeah, I mean, whatever. You wouldn't have wanted nobody to see you with the, you know, the suit.
I
said you wouldn't want nobody to see you in that suit, though. Could you imagine you rolling up to motherfucking state with that on, fucking with the niggas that we know?
Some of them would have liked it. You know, the colors.
Yeah, some of the Kappas. You know what I'm saying? Some of the Kappas like, hey, I like the color. I like the color, man, but the execution, bro, I don't know.
Let me tell you something. Well, for everybody that's watching or listening, so I was in a wedding, and the suit, we had these custom 3-piece suits. First of all, the suit was fantastic, and it wasn't cheap, but the suit was fantastic. I mean, but the color, I hate red. No disrespect to Kappas.
Man, you about to have all the Bloods come on, like, hey, man, we about to get all the hate mail from all the Bloods because you on here talking about how much you hate red, man. Hey, listen, Bloods, I ain't got no problem with y'all. You heard?
You know, but look what color he got on, though.
Hey. Hey. They saw me in a Bulls jersey not too long ago, baby. I got red flags all over this motherfucker.
That just means you're confused.
I ain't confused, goddammit.
But no, man.
You got the coordinate.
I had a wine colored suit.
Was it wine colored?
It was wine. That was the name of the color. Okay. It looks red, but who?
Yeah, that motherfucker looked like.
We're splitting hairs red. Here, all right?
Okay, yeah,
at the end of the day, it was out of my color comfort zone, and Antoine, along with about a whole lot of other people, tried to destroy me on the ground.
Well, first of all, hold up. Don't say a whole lot of other people. Check this out, man. This how y'all.
I was getting text messages for the next 3 days.
Yeah, okay, I get that, but they wasn't.
Started it.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, give me my motherfucking due. You know what I'm saying? Give me my due, because I get on the gram, right, and I see him on the gram, and he like, yeah, man, I hate this color, but this suit fire. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, And y'all know how we do. We talk shit, you know what I'm saying? And real talk, man, like, my man look good in the suit, man, real talk. But I got to give him the shit. That's just kind of how we roll. So, you know, I come in with the roast, you know what I'm saying? Like, my man look like he, you know, the cap of Colonel Sanders because of the type of bow tie he had on. Like, man, he had the Colonel Sanders bow tie. And if he done went to a Kappa convention with the bow tie there, they'd confuse this nigga for Colonel Sanders, real talk. And so I started with that, right? And then Shay was on there too. She was like, you know what? Nah, I can't unsee it. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else on there was telling this nigga how good he looked. But nah, I wasn't about to do that. I'm about to roast his ass. I'm like, nah, man, and my man looked like the Kappa Colonel Sanders. And so, you know, I showed my father-in-law, right? Because my father-in-law is a Kappa. And he liked the suit, bro.
I'm sure. But.
You like the suit, man.
I don't care, man.
Oh, man. But
look, man, we've been gone two weeks.
Yeah, man.
I've been
so
dying to talk about some things.
You was in Memphis a couple weeks ago. I went to the Crit concert last Sunday.
How was that, man?
Well, some shit happened at the Crit concert, man. Excuse me. So me and one of my partners, man, we went. At first, I was going to take my wife, but my wife really wasn't trying to go to no Crick concert. She ain't really about that. Plus, where we was going, we went to St. Andrews, downtown Detroit. Like, mm-hmm. You buy tickets. They don't sell you no seats because ain't no motherfucking seats unless you're sitting in the balcony. So it's just like, you know, a pit of motherfucking, like, it's a stage, and then it's like, the motherfucker really could be like a basketball gym. It's a real small, intimate venue. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, you know, I'm up in there or whatever, got there relatively early. And then, but when I got there, when we got there, like, I'm looking at my phone for my tickets, and it's showing that I only got one ticket. And I'm like, wait a minute, this ain't right. So now I'm trying to go through my emails and shit, figure out where's my other ticket. Eventually, I got the shit figured out. And, you know, I had the other ticket or whatever. So me and my partner, we go up in there, man. And I didn't even know who was opening for him or who else was going to be there. I just thought it was going to be Crit. But apparently, what's my man's name? T.I.'s son, Damani.
He raps?
Yeah. He opened up the show for him. He opened up the show. Rhapsody was next up on stage.
I love Rhapsody, fool. Well, she nice.
Well, she was up on. She was next. I got a couple. Like, I got some real good shots of all of it, man. Like, I was like up towards the front. You know what I'm saying? So I got some really good shots of everything. And then Crit hit the stage, right? But so I didn't get a chance to see Crit's whole set. And the reason why I didn't get a chance to see Crit's whole set is like my partner like passed the fuck out, like straight passed the fuck out. And so
like drinking.
No, I don't know what it was. I don't know what the fuck happened. So, again, like, so the venue is, it's a whole bunch of motherfuckers just standing up. You know, it's not like no seats or nothing like that. So, he was kind of standing a little bit behind me. And at first, I'm thinking somebody was, like, just trying to get through. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just a whole bunch of people just standing there. And that was another thing. I had to go to the bathroom a couple times, you know, drinking beer and shit. And having a snake back, you know, go to the bathroom and then trying to get back to the front. Niggas is real iffy about that because like, they mad that you trying to get up to the front and they standing there all the way in the back. Like, hey, my man, I was already up there. You know what I'm saying? I'm going back. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get back to where the fuck I was. Like, you can move or we can fight. It's going to be one of those two. So, I'm standing up towards the front or whatever and I'm feeling like pressure as if like somebody's trying to move through, but they not saying, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just kind of stepped out of the way, and I'll be damned if my man's just kind of like a fucking tree, face first, boom, hits the ground, right? So I'm like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? What the fuck? And like I turn him over, I'm like, I'm calling his name out or whatever, and he wakes right up, and he's like, man, what the fuck happened? I'm like, nigga, you tell me. Like, I'm like, you know. He's like, man, he's like, how in the fuck I end up on the floor? I'm like, bro, you just fell on the floor. He didn't understand why he was on the floor. Nothing. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm standing up and I'm holding him, I'm looking at him in his face. I'm like, bro, is you all right? Do you need to go to the doctor or something? Do you need to like, he like, nah, man, I'm cool. I'm cool, man. I'm cool. I'm like, you sure? He like, man, I'm straight, bro. I don't know what the fuck happened, but I'm straight. I just need to go to the bathroom, put some water on my face. All right, cool. So he leaves, he goes to the bathroom to go put water on his face. So now he goes to do that, but he's texting me from the bathroom saying, well, I'm about to go stand outside, get some air. All right, cool. The next text message I get is, hey, man, I need to go like lay down somewhere. I'm like, you sure you don't need to go to the doctor? You sure?
Yeah, he like, exactly.
He like, man, I'm straight, man. I'm straight. I just need to lay down, man. I just need to lay down. So I try to unlock my truck from my phone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it's not unlocking for me. And I'm thinking, well, man, damn, I might have to have a key fob with him or whatever. So now I'm like, shit, I might have to leave this fucking concert. Crit ain't even hit the stage yet. Right? So I'm like, I might have to leave this concert. But he was like, nah, man. He like, nah, bro, just go ahead, stay, do the concert, bro. I'm gonna just go ahead, catch the bus home. I'm like, nigga, I'm not about to let you catch no bus to go home. If anything, you gonna ride home with me, or before we get to your crib, we gonna stop at this motherfucking hospital.
Right.
See what the fuck is up with you, right? So Crit hit the stage, and he texted me. He like, I'm about to get on the bus. I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And I get about 5 minutes of Crit, and then I walk out the venue looking for him. And so when I walk out the venue looking for him, I'm expecting him to be standing by my truck. He wasn't there. So then I text him and I'm like, yo, man, like, where you at? He really did hop on the motherfucking bus. He hopped on the bus to go home. So I'm like, why would you do that? You know what I'm saying? He like, man, you like, man, I'm saying, man, you like, I hate, I'm ruining your night and all this other stuff, man. I'm like, ultimately, dude, I want to make sure you all right. You know what I'm saying? Go to the doctor. Let's see what the fuck happened. Why you passed out and everything else. He was like, man, nah, man, I'm just going ahead. I'm going home, man. I'm going home. So, yeah, like after I left, they wouldn't let me back in. You know what I'm saying? So that was it. That was it. So now I'm on my way home. And low key, like, I'm like, I got two conflicting feelings about the shit. Like, I want to make sure my man's is all
right. Right.
But I'm low key still, I'm kind of pissed too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, and I felt bad for being pissed. Because I'm like, you know, I mean, like, I'm like, man, I'm sitting, I'm like, man, I spent all this motherfucking money on these tickets and all this other shit. But at the same time, like, my man's passed out in this show. We don't know what's wrong with him. Right. And the nigga went home on the bus, and we don't know how, I don't, you know, what the fuck, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, the next day I went over to his house, man, to go check up on him and whatnot. And, you know, he was saying, like, you know, he hadn't went to the, you know, the doctor, whatnot. He was talking about, you know, I can't really afford to go to the doctor. And I understood it, and I sympathized with him, because my man's going through a lot of shit. And that was part of the reason why I decided I was going to take him to the concert. Like, man, give you some time to kind of, like, get away from all the bullshit you're dealing with. Let's go to this concert, just have a good time, let's wild out. And, you know, he was telling me he really couldn't afford to go to the doctor. You know, he's like, man, I can't take that bill. I'm like, man, they can't make you pay the motherfucker, but you do need to go see what's going on with you, because if that shit happens again, you want to know what's before it happens again, you want to know what triggered this so that it doesn't happen again. And, you know, he got kids and shit, man. He got like 5 kids, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, yo, bro, take care of yourself, because ultimately, man, nobody, your kids depended on you to be here. So, yeah, man, that happened. I went to go see Crit. I got a chance to see Crit. I saw 5 minutes of it, but I didn't get a chance to stay to like really, like, just kind of like wild the fuck out. But, you know, that's what happened for me Sunday. You know what I'm saying? And that's part of the reason why y'all didn't get a show Sunday, because, you know, I told y'all I was going to be going to the Crit show. So, yeah, that's what happened, man. But we here. We here. And update, you know, I have been, you know, like, checking in with him, you know, periodically throughout the week to see if he all right, man. But, you know, I can't make that man do what he don't want, you know, what he... I can tell him to do it, but whether he does it or not is something entirely different. So, you know, that's what it is. But, yo, man, what you want to get started with first? You want to do this fantasy football? You want to talk about
this? Yeah, because we're going to make this fantasy quick, because I don't give a shit about it.
Oh, don't be like that, man. Don't be like that, man. See, that's how you know Cliff ain't really doing all that well in the fantasy football,
man. I don't know.
Man.
I need to really learn.
Yeah,
right, for real.
Yeah, I mean, you do. I mean, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying it in that in a bad way either. Like, I didn't come into the motherfucker like, you know, winning like gangbusters. You know what I'm saying? Like, it took some time for me to like find my, you know, get my footing. But I'm gonna tell y'all something right now about this span. I mean, not span, but the Beer and Chicken Fantasy Football League right now. Like, there's a lot of parity in this league. So I want to give you this bit of optimism for yourself, Cliff. Because the league has so much parity in it, like the top 5 teams all have the same record. The top 5 are all 5-3. Then you got 3 teams that are 4-4. And then, you know, you got you and, you know, Goose like kind of bringing up the rear. But you still have time to like make it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's still like, I don't know, 8 weeks left for y'all to kind of do your thing or whatever. Somebody can start losing. You can start winning. You can run. You can make a nice little run, end up in that fourth spot. You never really know. You just got to start making moves and paying attention to the waiver wire and everything else. You might pick up a diamond in the rough that nobody was even paying attention to. You know, that can happen. I've seen it happen. But yeah, man, like I said, we got a lot of parity in the league. Like I said, Team Tate is 5-3. The Miami Swipers are 5-3. I'm 5-3. Panic at the Nabisco is 4-4. And then we got the homie Goose, T Guthrie, they 2-6. And they just three games out of, you know, the top spot in the division. Then you got over here in the West Division, the Bad News Bears, 5-3. Team name to be determined, 5-3. Harvin's Hitmen, 4-4. Godzilla Dogs, I think that's your aunt, 4-4. And then you got the homeboy Cliff, 1-7. But you can make a run, bro. You can still make a run. You just got to be able to, you know, put you some get you some, get your personnel together and pay attention when those games are being played, so you can plug in guys when other guys aren't necessarily playing. And that's one of the things that I've been noticing about you is that, like, you'll have guys in the game and they not even playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a bye week for them. He's like, oh shit, he just left the motherfucker sitting there. Huh? Yeah, he ain't getting he ain't getting no points out of that slot. So
like four.
Yeah, you ain't get you're not gonna get jack shit if they ain't playing. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying like four people. One week I had four people that was not playing.
Yeah, man. So, you know, that's what it is. But I'm just gonna run down the scores right now for like this current week. Looks like T Guthrie is actually on a little bit of a run right now because he won his second game, but he's actually in he's leading your aunt right now, 125 to 80. 125 to 80 right now, so that game's still going on. Panic at the Nabisco and the Miami Swipers is in like a fucking dogfight. That's the game is tight. 104.2 for Panic at the Nabisco. Miami Swipers 103.1. That game is
9/10 of a point difference.
That game is tight. Then we got team name to be determined. 84.7. And they're leading on Harvin's Hitmen, 61.3. So that's, let's see. Let's go back into this. So right now, team name to be determined is actually projected to score 101 points. Harvin's Hitmen is projected to score 75. So it might not be looking real good for Harvin's Hitmen. He may end up going 4-5. I'm going up against Team Tate. The nigga beat me the last time. I'm trying to get at his neck, but I might not be able to have this one. I think he's going to come back and beat me on this one. I got some guys that's coming up real motherfucking short. I'm leading right now 92.6 to 79, but he still got like his quarterback and like some major motherfuckers left to play. He got Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott left to play and shit. So I might fuck around and lose this game. And then Bad News Bears are 5-3. They right now winning 100.6 to your 23. So, oh shit, you ain't about to do nothing with this, man. This is a loss for you. Well, all right then. That was a fantasy football update, y'all. Jesus, man. I didn't realize. I didn't realize, man. We gonna talk offline, man. We gonna get you some. We gotta do something, bro. We gotta do something. God damn, man. Right now, Cliff Team looking like... Yeah, man. That's the fantasy football update. Hey, man, you know, I got to do it to you, man. It's out of love, bro. It's all out of love. What you got for us tonight, though, bro?
So, let me pull up my article here. Where is that? Of course, I have... we've spoken on so many times about James Harden, but the subject for this article says Rockets Wizards shootout sets record for game decided by single point, which to me is quite amazing. This was the day before Halloween. It says the Houston Rockets and Washington Wizards battled to a final score Wednesday night that locked more than a result of an all-star game that in an early season matchup combining the score 317 points, the most in an NBA game decided by a single point. That's kind of crazy. The Rockets needed everyone of the James Harden 59 points to prevail, 159-158, as the Wizards matched the record for the most points scored in the NBA regulation loss. The Nuggets also scored 158 points in the loss to Golden State in 1990. But it says, let me scroll down. The previous record for combined points in the game decided by a single point was 311 between the Bulls and the Trailblazers in 1984.
Mike's first year.
I know, right? It's his rookie year, for real. Mm-hmm. Houston set a franchise record for points Wednesday night, and Washington's 158 was the second most in franchise history. The Wizards' effective field goal percentage of .736 was the highest in loss since the shot clock era began in 1954-55, according to the Bureau of Research. I'm not going to go through this whole entire article, mm-hmm. but I seen on ESPN the day of this game when they were talking about it, and Stephen A. sometimes, as much as I disagree with him, when he says something that's good, it'd be really good.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, this reminds me of my last 2K video game that he was playing some like 9-year-old online.
Yeah.
And he beat him like 170 to like 90. But James Harden had 59 points. And actually, that's one thing I was going to get into. So it says Harden made two of three free throws with 2.4 seconds left to go. He was 18 for 32 from the field, 6 for 14 from three-point range, and 17 of 18 free-throw line. And he had 9 assists. So his numbers were, like, mad high.
Yeah.
I am not a James Harden fan. Westbrook had 17, 12, and 10. Of course, you know, he always get a triple dizzle in there sometimes. But the two of them combined, they pretty much made up almost 90 points of the team's total, which to me, the way I looked at that was if one of them doesn't score like the way they did this game or doesn't have as many assists, they're going to lose. They're going to lose. Harden and Westbrook, I really don't see them being that much of a threat in the West as much as, you know, some of the other teams. Mm. But to score that many points for either one of them, the Wizards or the Rockets, nobody's playing defense. Nobody's playing defense. It's more one-on-one ball than anything else. Bill damn near had 50. He had – hold on, where are we at? Bill damn near had 50, and everybody else had a couple 20s here and there. But, dude, nobody's playing D. That's video game. That reminds me when we was in Iroquois and y'all was putting up 150 on one another, like, every game.
I was good, though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was the best in the crib. I mean,
I can't vouch for that, so I don't know. I can't vouch for that. You know, one day we'll bring Chauncey Alwin Dre on.
Bring Chauncey and Dre on.
And we'll
either way, I think right now you still upset with me because I called you Kappa Colonel Sanders.
No.
You ain't got to be like that.
I'm not mad.
You ain't got to be like that. See, that's how a nigga say he ain't mad when he really mad.
Regardless. <Yeah. laughs> See, that game would have
really
been
mad if he just said, irregardless, that's how you know that nigga mad. But he just said, okay, so, all right.
And anybody that says irregardless, yeah. But, no, man. I just thought that to score that many points on both sides, nobody was for real playing. That was like a pickup game. And even in the beginning of the article, they start out and say, more like the result of an all-star game, which is very true. Mm. Dude, 160 points damn near a piece? Well, that's insane.
It's insane. Excuse me. It's insane, but the flip side to that could be this. What y'all witnessed, because I didn't get a chance to see that game, what y'all witnessed was three dudes who all were like in the fucking zone.
Yes.
At the same damn time.
At the same damn time.
and it never happens. When you get that kind of, like, you get three dudes that talented in they fucking bag, and, like, yes. No matter what you did, they was going to get theirs. And so, So as much as we would talk about, like, you know, there was no defense being played in that game, I'm sure there was some times in that game where a motherfucker was like all over James Harden, like, well, goddamn, how the fuck did he hit that? I had my hand in the nigga face. If all I shit, I had to touch his balls or something in order to get the nigga not to hit the shot. Like, I'm sure there were times like that in the game. Now, again, I didn't see the game, so I don't know. But what I'm just offering a flip side opinion of what could happen, where maybe, just maybe, you had three guys that will own a fucking game that one night, you'll never see that shit happen again that way. And again, this is short sample size. You know what I'm saying? The season is early. You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of teams that are still trying to figure out their roles, who's going to do what for the season. Coaches are still trying to figure out their rotations, the whole thing, man. So, yeah, I think
it's. Check this out.
I think
this was the second instance in NBA history of three different players, one having 55 plus. 45 plus and a triple double in one game.
Yeah, you're not gonna see that shit again.
That is 2K. That's NBA Live.
You're not gonna see that shit again. You're not gonna see it again.
Second time ever.
I'm saying, when was the first time?
The first time was 1961.
Yeah.
Will Chamberlain had 78 points. Elgin Baylor had 63, and Jerry Rest had a triple double. And okay. Here's the thing. The game score was 151-147.
So we'd have to live to at least, I don't know, 60, 70 before we see this again. If we see this again, it's like a once in a lifetime kind of thing. You're not going to see this no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least we not. You know what I'm saying? It might happen again. We might not be here to see it. You know what I'm saying? That's the point that I'm making, is that, like, this was such an outlier of the game that, yeah, man, you just saw some guys that was in their back. But the other thing, too, it just kind of speaks to, like, the culture of the game and how much the game has changed and some of the rule changes that have been made in the game that allow for a more free-flowing offense, that allow for a more free, high-scoring sort of affair. Because I can remember a time back in the 90s where, like, high scores were, like, 92-79.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, if you look back at, like, the even when, like, when the Bulls was playing, like, the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals before going to play, like, either the Jazz or the Supersonics, like, those games were, like, really low-scoring affairs, 86-72. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are really low-scoring affairs, man. And Mike would have had, like, 50 out of 87.
Yo, it said right here that Harden Westbrook scored or assisted 128 points. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Now, I remember the Pistons were in a game with the Denver Nuggets where they scored a crazy amount of points, but they went into, like, triple overtime in order to get that point total. I can't think of the exact point total of that game. I know it went into triple overtime, and it was in the 80s, but, like, they both scored, like, 130 some odd points or some shit like that. Like, god damn. You know? But
160 though, man, crazy.
That's a lot of points, man. It's a lot of motherfucking points.
A lot of points. It's kind of like how I would score on you. You know, if you had any type of athletic bone in your body.
This nigga here, man.
You know, I got a rim. We can go free throws, whatever you want to do, bro.
This summer, nigga, I'm gonna bust your ass. Anyway, yes!
And I want you to wear Jordans too.
I'm not scuffing my J's, bro. Like, I don't buy my J's to play ball in them, my nigga. I got
some old ones.
I got some other shoes that I would rock. I'm not putting none of my J's on the ball with you, my nigga. I got some Huaraches in it that I'll roll on you with. You know what I'm saying? I got some Air Force Ones in it that I'll roll on you with. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not pulling out the J's, bro.
Those Air Force Ones a little heavy for you. You got to get something lighter, you know.
Oh, nigga. Have you seen these calves, nigga? Like, I got motherfucking softball-sized calves now, my nigga. for real. But, yo, man, so I got this story here, man, I thought was interesting because we actually talked about this the last time we was on the mic. And it was about the fact that, California had passed a law that will allow their college athletes to be compensated for their likeness and everything else if they went to school in California. And then we also talked about Illinois hopping on that bandwagon and introducing legislation in their state government to do something similar. And we was talking about the snowball effect of that, right? Like, yo, motherfuckers will start going to Illinois, they'll start going to California, other states will start doing the same thing. Well, I think the NCAA saw the writing on the wall. Because the NCAA was like, oh shit, nigga, oh shit. And they decided that they would allow athletes to be compensated for their names, their likeness, and all of that shit, says the governor's board of the NCAA. All right, I'm going to read a little bit from this story here. This is from Fox9.com. It says, the National Collegiate Athletic Association will now permit athletes to be compensated for their names, images, and likenesses. The NCAA Board of Governors said Tuesday, in the association's continuing efforts to support college athletes, the NCAA's top governing board voted unanimously to permit students participating in athletics the opportunity to benefit from the use of their name, image, and likeness in a manner consistent with the collegiate model, the board said in a release. Michael V. Drake, chair of the board and president of the Ohio State University. Did they really put the Ohio State University? Man, fuck Ohio State. In Ohio, said the board of governors.
All right, the Ohio State. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Shut your punk ass up. You ain't got no allegiances to them, man. Nigga, you're throwing me off.
That's all. Shut up. You guys lose to them.
Shut up. Action direct each of the NCAA's three divisions to immediately consider updates to relevant bylaws and policies for the 21st century. We must embrace change to provide the best possible experience for college athletes, Drake said. Additional flexibility in this area can and must continue to support college sports as a part of higher education. This modernization for the future is a natural extension of the numerous steps NCAA members have taken in recent years to improve support for student athletes, including full cost of attendance and guaranteed scholarships. The board said modernization should occur within a specific set of principles and guidelines, which start with assuring that student athletes are treated similarly to non-athlete students, unless a compelling reason exists to differentiate. The board said that the guidelines need to make clear the distinction between collegiate and professional opportunities, as well as make clear that compensation for athletics performance or participation is impermissible, among other principles. The board's action was based on comprehensive recommendations from the NCAA Board of Governors, Federal and State Legislation Working Group, which includes presidents, commissioners, athletic directors, and administrators and student athletes. I'm going to say right now, this is all bullshit. This is all bullshit. They can put as much flowery motherfucking language they want to this. The only reason they moved on this was because they knew the tide was turning on this. And states were going to make it allowable for their student athletes to go ahead and be rewarded or to be compensated for their likeness. Because truth be told, the NCAA has been making a shit ton of money off of these kids, including their likeness. And, you know, they're just trying to get out in front of it, because I believe this goes into effect in the year 2022. Where the student athletes, and it's not just like football and basketball, right? So you've had student athletes who were like, I believe, like snowboarders and skiers and stuff, who had endorsement deals, and they lost their eligibility because of it, despite the fact that, like, I think there was this one Olympic athlete who had an endorsement with a ski company, I believe it was. But the thing is, he was an Olympic athlete in another kind of sport. So it wasn't even the sport that he was competing in collegiately. It was a whole other thing, and they still took his eligibility away from him. You know what I'm saying? So, like it's crazy like that. So right now, the NCAA is seeing the writing on the wall. Like, man, if we don't let these motherfuckers go ahead and get a little bit of this money, we ain't going to be getting no money. Like, the pie going to go from, like, 100% to, like, nothing. We could get them, like, 20% and still keep 80. You know what I'm saying? 80 look a whole lot better than the zero. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for real, that's what I pretty much think this is. Like, I'm cynical like that. I don't think that they did this out of the kindness of their heart. I think they saw the writing on the wall that the legislation was changing in states, and states were about to start adopting this model. And we talked about this on the last episode, that, like, if, you know, North Dakota suddenly becomes a fucking national power because Louisiana ain't got with the shits yet, you know, that this is going to cause a problem. And then these states are going to be like, well, we got to do something to even the playing field. And so this is the NCAA's, I guess, their attempt to call themselves even in the playing field. But at the same time, it's like, yo, man, these state legislatures was like moving the ball forward on the college athlete compensation thing. The NCAA saw the writing on the wall. Was like, well, we got to get out ahead of this.
Well, I think me and you both agree that it's well overdue. Mm-hmm. But before it's like full on, it's going to be a lot of red tape, man. They're going to try to take advantage as much as they can before they give them what they deserve. And you know what? I'm sure between now and maybe another year, well, actually, when they first implement some of these new standards, it's a lot of things that are going to be changed, guaranteed, yeah. guaranteed. So, I'm, you know what, I'm happy for whoever can actually benefit from it. And I know we talked about this before, but I always think about when Jalen Rose said that everybody used to think that they actually had money, like yeah. for real. And he said, man, we used to sell, the jersey off our back because we didn't have any food or, you know, whatever the case was. So I could imagine it has been some much worse situations than the Fab Five. But, hey, man, I can't wait to see what happens just this coming season. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If it's implemented that early.
Yeah, so. The weird part about it is, like, I remember as a kid being able to go into a Champ Sports and seeing a Michigan Chris Webber jersey, yeah. a Michigan Chris Webber jersey that was made by Nike with his name on it.
Yes,
with his name yeah. on it. They were selling and that shit. And
it was $250 back then.
I don't know if it was $250. Well, yeah. I don't know, but. All I remember was his name was on the motherfucker, and that was like, you know, because that was the other part too. Like, I didn't want to buy the jersey and his name wasn't on it. Everybody knew who the fuck number four was. Like, I wanted the jersey that looked as close to the real shit that they had on, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I was like, man, I mean, my mama wasn't buying that jersey then. I mean, it was expensive. I don't know if it was $250 expensive, but it was expensive.
$250.
But yeah, man, I just remember like, and then hearing that like they weren't getting any of the they weren't reaping any of the benefits of that. Like, I remember, like, the Huaraches. Like, the Huaraches were the shoes that the Fab Five was wearing
yes.
when they were going on their fucking championship runs and stuff, you know? Like, and they were hot. Everybody wanted them because Fab Five was wearing them. The black socks, the long shorts, the whole shit, the bald heads, all of that shit, man. Like, they kind of helped popularize that, and they weren't reaping any of the benefits of that whatsoever. Nike made off like a fat rat. Michigan made out like a fat rat, because you had a whole bunch of people that didn't give a fuck about Michigan, never stepped foot in the state of Michigan, but they had that big Block M on. They had the Maize and Blue on. So yeah, man.
Did you say Maize and Blue?
No, it's called Maize and Blue. That's the name of the color.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking.
Maize and Blue.
I thought you said Amazing Blue. Like, so it's blue. But go ahead.
Fucking lame.
Maize, like in corn maize, right? Like, you know,
exactly yellow. Exactly
maize. Not amazing though. Not amazing.
No one said amazing, dick face. But the fuck, man. But no, the other part about this too, man, is the hypocrisy of some of the people who are actually in the NCAA making a shit ton of money. So Clemson's head coach Dabo Swinney, this motherfucker signed a 10-year deal worth $93 million to coach the Clemson football team.
$93 million.
10 years, $93 million. So at $9.3 million, or like $9 million a year, right? You make $9 million a year, he's the highest paid state employee. He makes more than a fucking governor. He makes more than anybody in the state. He's a state employee. Makes more money than any of them. 10 years, $93 million. This asshole has been on record to say that he isn't a fan of the players getting paid in college.
He's not a fan.
He's not a fan. Says the guy that's getting paid $9 million a season. And has the guys walking around in paraphernalia, because although that's what the college pays him. I'm sure that whatever endorsement deal that the college, like whatever apparel company, whether it be Nike, whether it be Adidas or Under Armour, I'm starting to see a lot of what's the other shit? I'm seeing, like, well, we don't see Russell Athletic much anymore, but like you start seeing all these logos on these players. You get all of the shoes on them, so they're walking billboards for you, the school, and the damn apparel company. They get none of that. You already sitting on at least $93 million, and I looked at that and I was like, yo, I hope every fucking dude who's being recruited by Clemson right now reads that article and says, fuck this guy, I'm going someplace else. Real well, talk. I hope they do, but, you know, like, to a large degree, like, you know, a lot of these guys, like, they're young, man. They just want to play football. They want to be in a spot where they can win. They want to be in a place where they think people are going to be able to see them. And as we talk on this show, I've said it plenty of times, we're like, if you're good, they're going to find you. They're going to come find you. You know what I'm saying? If you're good. You think about a guy like Steve McNair who went to Alcorn State. You know what I'm saying? You think about a guy like Richard Dent who went to Tennessee State. Shit. Antonio
Greenness went to Jackson State.
There you go. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Jerry Rice went to an HBCU. If you're great, if you're good, they will come get you.
Yes.
So, but that's the thing, though, is convincing these kids to go someplace. And not only that, I think a lot of times the facilities have a lot to do with where they go to. So you're not gonna go to you're not gonna go to Tennessee State if the facilities is bullshit. But you can go to Clemson, and like you basically living in the lap of luxury, damn near. You know what I'm saying? All of the facilities are top notch, and you know you got these boosters and everything, like stroking your ego the whole nine and whatnot. Like it's a totally different thing, but and it's hard to ask a 16, 17, 18 year old kid to make that sort of determination when he really just wants to go out there like I want to be seen. I want to play ball, and I want people to know that I can play ball, and I want to go to the next level. It's hard to convince a 17, 18 year old kid that like, yo, you really should go to Tennessee State. Motherfucker, I'm looking at Alabama right now. Like,
I'll say this. I think within the last, I'm just going to use a number, 10, 15 years, because the amount of athletes that are available, those top tier schools, they take all the, you know, what do you want to call them, blue chips really quick.
Yeah.
So now it's really, it has been almost like a, I don't want to call it something new, but if you think about it, if you are a fantastic athlete and you have had exposure, it's not a bad thing going to like a Tennessee State or going to a Jackson State. I'm trying to think of another like non-HBCU school that's really small, but there has been a lot of players that have come from these small universities who are Hall of Famers. Yeah. So
it's something to think about. It's something to think about. But as like, although I think this is a good thing, I'm also like, I'm very cynical about it. Bye. Because of the fact that, yo, man, they only doing this shit because the writing's on the wall. Like the law's about to start changing, and they want to get out ahead of it. And so that's pretty much where I'm at with it, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're changing the laws, and they're setting the standard right now to make sure that they will always be able to control what's going on.
Period. Indeed.
Nothing else.
Indeed. Did you have anything else? Because I got one more story.
Go ahead. No, I'll just branch off you.
All right. So check this out, man. I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you saw this or not, but apparently Roy Jones Jr. and Bernard Hopkins talking about getting in the ring again. Yeah, man. I mean, I could have, but I'm more so like looking at this shit like,
nigga, please.
Y'all really out here clamoring for the Bernard Hopkins Roy Jones Jr. fight?
That means one thing.
Mm.
They need money.
Of course it means they need money. Like,
and guess what? We gonna watch it.
I ain't gonna watch it, man. I couldn't do
it. I'm talking about black people. Black people gonna watch it. Yes, sir.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to see these two geriatric niggas up there like swinging their arms, bro. I don't know if I want to see it, man. I don't want to see nobody like being like carried off in a stretcher or nothing like that, man. I mean, so let me read this article, man. This actually comes out of worldboxingnews.net. It says that Jones and Hopkins, who are 50 and almost 55 respectively, traded videos shared by news source FightHype.com. Hopkins is seen first, sending a message from the World Boxing Council convention in Cancun. The alien is currently rubbing shoulders with boxing royalty there. Moments after Hopkins tells Jones to get it on, the one-time pound-for-pound king of the 1990s responded in kind. We are one and one. You have one, I have one. Let's break the tie, said Hopkins. We can go to Russia, China, or anywhere in Europe, the Philly native added. The only thing Jones wanted to know was the weight he is obviously enjoying was the weight, as he is obviously enjoying his retirement currently. I've been waiting for something like this, he told Hopkins. Now tell me what weight so I can get down there. Winning the first fight in 1993, at the height of his powers, Jones scored a unanimous decision for the IBF middleweight crown in Washington. 17 years later, Hopkins returned the favor at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas even more decisively. Retiring in 2016, Hopkins remains the oldest world champion of all time. For his part, Jones hasn't fought since 2018. Wait, this nigga still fighting?
Daddy, I'm scared of the dark.
This nigga still fighting, bro.
Daddy.
I don't even know what to say to that. Go upstairs.
Daddy.
Hold on. All
right. Oh man. While we wait on the homeboy Cliff to wrangle up the children, let's get back to some of this young crit, man. Let's get back to some of this crit. There we go. Are the children wrangle, my dude? Yeah, man. But this motherfucker 55, man. Or better yet, Roy Jones Jr. still been out here fighting. I'm shocked. Because I ain't been following boxing like that. I am shocked this nigga is still out here doing it.
Well, guess what, man? Kudos to him.
I'm just not looking forward to like the possibility of them, especially like Roy Jones Jr. I was much more of a fan of Roy Jones Jr. than Bernard Hopkins. I'm just not looking forward to a time where like maybe he ends up in a condition like, you know, Muhammad Ali was, you know, towards the end of his life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just not really looking forward to that. And the possibility of that happening is strong, considering that he's still fighting at fucking 50. Or 55. I'm confused as to which one was 55 and which one was 50. It was probably Bernard Hopkins that was 55. But
yeah,
man. Bernard told him. So you say black folks gonna be watching this fight though?
Black people.
So you
are gonna watch this fight?
So you watching this fight?
No. But black people are gonna watch this fight.
I don't know, man.
Listen, the only fight, the last fight that I watched was Floyd's last fight, and I regretted that, all right? So my days of watching fights is done. I will watch some UFC, and talking about UFC, I did have a small little something I just wanted to touch on very quick. Mm. And I don't know if you saw a few weeks back, the homie who died, he was 27. Did you see that?
No.
Patrick Day.
I don't.
This UFC, article October 16th. Patrick Day dies of brain injuries 4 days after workout. So basically, this junior middleweight.
I did hear about that.
They suffered it.
I did hear about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did hear about
suffered
that.
Suffered a 10-round knockout loss Saturday and died from brain injuries. Excuse me. At Northwestern here in Chicago, he was knocked down in the fourth and eighth round by Charles Conwell. And on here, I'm just scrolling now because this is kind of a long. The guy who knocked him out didn't know, and he said, "I never meant this to happen to you. All I ever wanted to do was win. If I could take it all back, I would. No one deserves this to happen to them. I replay the fight over and over again in my head, thinking, what if this never happened and why did it happen to you?
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking about it to myself. And I prayed for you so many times and shed so many tears. I couldn't imagine how my family and friends would feel. I see you everywhere I go, and all I hear is wonderful things about you." Like, both of them are really good. And basically he got knocked out. And when I saw the story on ESPN, he got knocked out and they check you out ringside and actually when you go back to the locker room. And it's kind of like the same situation where, you know, where somebody falls and knocks their head on the ground and then goes to bed.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, you know, similar to that. But crazy, man, you know, crazy. Crazy. That's the kind of risk you take, you know, playing, fighting. And you were talking about Muhammad Ali and, you know, what happened to him over his whole career, getting knocked in the head by George Foreman and, you know, all these other strong dudes. That stuff is very real, man.
Not only that, you do got to kind of feel not only for the family of the fighter who lost his life, but then the other guy who, you know, he's going to walk around with that for the rest of his life, like feeling guilty about that for the rest of his life. And, you know, I mean, we all know that, like, you know, when those guys get in the ring, you know, they kind of understand that this is a possibility. But at the same time, you understand it's a possibility, but you never really expect for this thing to happen. And so, yeah, man, I know that's got to be really, really, like, that's a mind fuck for real for something like that to happen. And it's directly, it's kind of directly related to what happened between the two of you. Like, you were in a competition. You were trying to win the fight. You weren't trying to kill the man, but the man, but he ultimately ended up succumbing to his injuries. Bless you. But yeah, man, it's a sad story, man. It's a sad story for real. So the dangers of the fight, man. Like I said, with Roy Jones Jr. and Bernard Hopkins talking about still going at 50 and 55, man, it's like
somebody need a check.
Man, they need that bread, man. They need
that bread.
I can't see why anybody at that age would still be wanting to go at it. Like, but I take that back. It's a combination of the two. If you are a fighter, like it's like they all you notice this, man. A lot of fighters have a hard time walking away. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole lot of dudes who stayed in the game much longer than they should have because they just have a hard time stepping away. Like we saw, was it Sugar Ray Leonard? People would say that he stayed in the game way too long. Same could be said for Muhammad Ali. He was losing to people he had no fucking business losing to. You can run down the list of guys who probably stayed a little bit longer than they should have because the lure of the competition was so strong for them. And so, the fact that they still want to do it, I mean, I guess it's admirable, but at the same time, kind of foolish too. You know what I'm saying? I just kind of feel that way. So that's it. But it's almost time for us to roll up out of here. And y'all know what we do before we get the fuck on up out of here. We wing it.
Okay. We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
What you winging it on tonight, homie?
Shout out to everybody. All the naysayers. All the haters. Don't be a hater all your life. Why are we winging it?
He went to look to see if the
motherfuckers are so good. They're so good. They're so good. They're so good this year. I'm even surprised. I even feel like I'm wowed. So last week, go to this cigar lounge and, you know, everybody like, oh, man, Tom Brady, you know, he owed. This dude is playing like he was playing 10 years ago, man. And the bonus, the defense is off the chain. Off the chain, man. All I'm saying right now, they're talking about that Baltimore is going to upset New England tomorrow. I can't wait till tomorrow. Personally, I can't wait till tomorrow. But, you know, I'm going to be another – I might have another belt on the Beer and Chicken podcast, you know, with my New England joint on, you know. You know, I don't know who you got, but I know you ain't on this train that's moving so fast and hard and strong. Woo! Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful thing this year. So shout out to the Detroit Lions, whatever they're doing.
They just lost, man.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And they just lost to the Raiders 31-24. So, I mean, kind of is what it is. I ain't tripping.
sucks losing.
I wouldn't expect
sucks
much.
Being a loser.
I wasn't expecting much this year, no way. So fuck you. for real, the Lions season has pretty much been
grand opening, grand closing.
Straight up. Fucking mediocre as fuck, man. You ain't gonna get no fight out of me talking about the Lions right now, man. I'm done. Like, real talk, it was hard for me to even come into this season having any rooting interest in them when they drafted fucking Hawkinson. So that's just how I felt about it. I'm like, they wasted another goddamn first round pick on a tight end again. Like, but such is life. Such is life. But the thing that I'm gonna wing it on tonight is the XFL. Right? So the XFL is kind of in like sports news because they are basically paying their players diddly fucking squat. They ain't paying these motherfuckers jack shit. Unless you're a quarterback in the XFL, they're not paying you a goddamn thing. So I'm going to read the story a little bit out of deadspin.com. It says the XFL player draft held October 15th had a whopping 71 rounds, during which 8 teams filled out their rosters with a combined 568 guys. But a maximum of 567 of those guys will proceed to whatever the next stage of his project winds up being after former University of Tennessee standout and recent Arizona Cardinals training camp castoff Corey Vereen dumped his new team upon learning that the non-quarterbacks in the XFL will be paid roughly jack shit. shout out to Deadspin for the editorializing, man. I love that shit. It says the salary details have come via a report from ESPN's Kevin Seifert, and they're grim. While quarterbacks in the league can make up to nearly $500,000 for a season of work, an average non-quarterback on an average team can expect to pull in somewhere around 10% of that amount, and is only guaranteed a harrowing portion of even that. The XFL informed agents a week before its October 15-16 draft that non-quarterbacks will receive $2,080 every 2 weeks they are under contract for a max base salary of $27,040 for the season. There are $1,685 bonuses for being on an active game and game day roster, and another $2,220 for players on the winning team. A player who is active for all 10 games and is on a team that goes 5-5 would earn $55,000 for the season. Listen, I'm not trying to toot my horn here, but I make more than $55,000 a year, y'all. And I ain't playing professional football. So I ain't mad at Vereen for telling them, go fuck yourself. I'm going to stay in the job that I already got. Because y'all ain't paying me a goddamn thing worthy of me stepping away from this damn software development company that I'm working for right now. $55,000 if you're on an average team and you own a get and you have to be on the active roster for all 10 games. They not paying these dudes jack shit to play professional football, and all these millions of dollars that's being thrown around for this league and everything. I mean, it is a Trump friend running this shit. I mean, Vince McMahon, that's his man's. I mean, I guess I couldn't really expect much more, but yeah, I had to throw that in there. I had to throw that in there, nigga. But, yeah, man, fuck the XFL. I'm not watching that shit. They're not paying any players worth a goddamn. I hope it, like, dries up like a worm on a goddamn sidewalk. For real. So, yeah, man, that's been our show, man. We're going to get back at y'all. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? I need to remind y'all, because it's been a while, and we didn't even do this at the top of the show. I need to remind y'all how to get in touch with us over here at Beer and Chicken Podcast. Let your voices be heard here. Go ahead and hit up the hotline. Area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave the voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will get replayed here on the show, responded to right here as well. You can also email us here at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave those emails. Of course, those emails will get read here live on the show, responded to here on the show as well. Hit us up on Twitter. My name is Mr_Span. The homeboy Cliff is what?
DJ Neff Music, baby.
All right. Hit that nigga up on DJ Neff Music and shit on the Twitter streets, man. I talk shit to him on Twitter, man. He loves that shit. Also, hit up that store, man. Go to the store, man. Get yourself some merch. Get yourself a hoodie, man. It's hoodie season. You know what I'm saying? Get yourself a thermos because, you know, keep your drinks hot and warm and shit. To go, like, I'm going to tell y'all right now. Get yourself what they call it? Heathered. Get you a Heathered Beer and Chicken Podcast hoodie. Right? With like the Beer and Chicken Just Wing It thermos. Nigga, you gonna like change the game. You gonna change the game. You gonna change the game. And they go like, man, where you get that from?
Beer and Chicken. It tastes better too.
I'm saying, right? hey, it's gonna even look better when you standing in line at the Popeyes waiting on that chicken sandwich because that bitch just came back today. You know what I'm saying? So you gonna look like
It came back today.
Nigga, it's been lines all over the place. I want the chicken sandwich because I still ain't had it, but I ain't about to wait in line for that bitch, man. It's supposed to be a permanent thing. It's supposed to be a permanent menu item now. I'm not about to be standing in fucking line for no damn chicken sandwich, man. I'm going to just wait for it to die down, and then I'm going to go in there and just go ahead and get one, man. If it's going to be permanent, I ain't about to be waiting for no damn 10 hours getting no goddamn sandwich. But, yeah, man, that's it. We're going to talk to y'all again soon. Leave us those 5-star reviews on iTunes. I forgot. Leave the 5-star reviews. We're going to read those here on the show. But, yeah, got to go. Talk to y'all later. Peace.
All right, mate. Yep.